Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
We are grateful, we are thankful, we thank you, Lord, for great opportunity to be here. We thank you, Lord, for making way for us and causing us, Lord, to see another day, another hour, and another minute. We thank you. We bless you. Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your presence here in Jesus' name. Let us not leave this place the same, but draw us even closer to you. Let your word bring health, strength, heal us, and restore us in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord, and please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. After service. All right. Well, we are talking about others. We've been talking about others, and we want to continue our message on others. Hallelujah. For those of you who have been here from the beginning of this message, we talked about what you must know about others. And then we talked about what Jesus did for others. Hallelujah. Today, we want to talk about Job was healed because he prayed for others. Job was healed because he prayed for others. We want to talk about this man, how that he prayed for others. Turn with me to Job chapter 42 and verse number 7. Job 42 and verse number 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shunite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came thereunto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. The Lord answered the prayers of Job. And Job prayed. Job sought the face of God. But the Bible says the key to Job's deliverance, the turning around of Job's captivity, was when he prayed for his friends. Hallelujah. Job prayed and called on God several occasions and several times, but nothing happened. Nothing happened until Job prayed for his friends. The Bible says, when Job prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the moment Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity. When Job prayed for his friends, that was the end of all of his troubles. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, perhaps it is time for you to stop focusing on your issues and turn your attention to other people who are in your life. Perhaps this is the turning point. A turning point or a breakthrough to all of your calamities. When you turn your focus away from your issues onto others. Hallelujah. God actually told Job to pray for others rather than pray for himself. God knew that Job had issues. See, when you think about others and when you help others, great blessings start coming into your life. When your focus is on others, great blessings start coming into your life. God told Abraham that he will bless him, that he will be a blessing. Amen. When God does not see any need or does not see your desire to bless others, his blessing does not come to you. Because his blessing is to bless you. You understand what I'm sharing with you? You will be blessed. He will bless you so that you'll be a blessing to others. Amen. Amen. Many people spend their lives praying for themselves. Praying for blessings. Praying for help from God. Praying for their needs. Many people spend a lot of time praying for themselves. Hallelujah. But isn't it amazing here that when God wanted to bless Job, when God wanted to deliver Job from his afflictions, when God wanted to bring an end to Job's calamity, he told Job to simply pray for others. Pray for others. Hallelujah. To pray for others. Amen. You see, it may seem it may not appeal to you. It may not seem to be sensible that you have your own issues. You have a need. And perhaps worse than other people's issues. Job's issues were worse than his friends' issues. Amen. But God wants you to leave your issues and pray for others. Amen. It may not make any sense to you. Amen. But these are how the things of God are. That is how the things of God are. They will never make sense to you. They are not intended to make sense to you. Because God has said that his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. The way he thinks is not the way you think. So how can God's thoughts make sense to you if you don't think the same way? Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? Your understanding of having more is to take more and receive more and get more and let people add more to you. But God says the way to get more is to give. It doesn't make any sense to you. The Bible says, if you have, more shall be. But such are the ways of God. Hallelujah. It's between this person and God. And God wants someone to stand in a gap. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So when God wanted to deliver Job, he asked him to pray for others. Hallelujah. To pray for others. That is how Job became the most famous survivor of trials. The most famous survivor that ever lived. Because he had a heart to pray for others. Amen. You can always know someone's heart when you listen to the person's prayer. When you listen to someone praying, you can know the person's heart. Praying for others is a master key to having a fulfilled life. Praying for others. When you set your heart to pray for others, it's a master key to have a fulfilled life. You try it. Try and pray for others and see. There are some of you here, you have never prayed for anyone before. Never prayed for anyone. But I'm challenging you, try praying for others. Amen. And see, listen, others are so precious to God. Amen. Others, they are so precious to God, such that he has linked your deliverance to your care for others. Wow. Your own deliverance. God linked Job's deliverance to the care of others. Imagine Job's friends went to him. They brought all these offerings, sacrifices. And then he says, I have more issues than you. Each one for himself. God for us all. You have not seen what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. Imagine that was Job's thought. He will still be in his calamities. But the Bible says, when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity. He says, and the Lord turned captivity of Job when? When he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends. Say it together with me. When he prayed for his friends. Amen. Amen. When Job prayed for his friends. Job lost his children. He lost his business. He lost his property. Job was a wealthy man. He lost his property. He lost his business. Job lost his good health. Job lost his health. And even his close associates. You know, the Bible says, some other version says, his former friends came. I don't even know about former friends. That there were people who were your friends before, and at some point, they were not your friends anymore. Because of your calamities, because of your poverty, because of your struggles, because of your suffering, friends leave you. Or you don't know that. So Job had a lot of issues. His wife asked him to denounce God. To reject God. His wife saw the problems that the man was going through. He said, why are you still following this God? Just curse God and die. His friends pointed out that he must have committed some secret sins that attracted such problems. You must have done, you see, people don't know it all. They don't know why you are going through certain issues. People don't know why you have a certain situation. You know, they just talk. They don't know that there has actually been a meeting between God and Satan concerning Job's righteousness. Why is she still not married? There must be something. Her mouth, maybe her mouth. Why is she still not this? Why has she not moved? Why is she always losing a job? You see, people don't know it all. Are you listening to me? We always see him or her coming to pay her tithe, but she's still poor. He's still poor. You see, you don't know what is happening. You don't know what is happening. He's always in church, but what does he have? You see, even we don't go. We go here and there. Look at us. You see, you don't know it all. They say you must have committed some secret sin. Secret sin. She has been around. No one has proposed to her. We just came. You have no idea. You don't know. They say he must have committed some secret sin. Some secret sin. Talking by heart. Or by kidney. Talking by liver. Never by the brain. You see, there are certain things, they look very awful when it happens to a person. They look very awful. Especially when you cannot seem to find anything wrong that the person has done. But something really horrible happens to the person. And there are certain situations that God allows to happen to bring him glory. That someone who has never seen anything, someone who was not even born, people say he must have sinned to be born blind. He's not born yet, but he must have sinned to have been born blind. You know, man can talk. Job had great need for personal prayers. How many of you agree that Job needed to pray for himself? He had every reason to fast and pray. The man has lost everything. Job was the one who was sick. He was sick. His friends were not sick. Job was the one who had financial problems. He had family crisis. His children have died and his wife is after him. He's still following this God and his wife every day, attacking him. Curse this God. You're still going to church after all that you are going through. You're still praying. Job was the one that needed prayers. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? Job could have spent all his time praying for deliverance from his many calamities. He could have forgotten about everyone else and concentrated on his own afflictions. Go for 1 week away and wait on the Lord because of his issues. And it would have been acceptable. But he thought of others. He thought about his friends and he prayed for them. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Job. Amen. Say, most people become great by thinking about others. Today, Job is remembered as the man who stayed focused on God, even in the most difficult circumstances. Job is the quintessence of endurance and survival. Job overcame many amazing difficulties. And how did he do it? How did Job do it? How did Job become so great? It's because he prayed for others. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not that he prayed for himself. Amen. He prayed for others. Who does not have an issue? Everyone has an issue. Everyone has an issue. There is not one single person who does not have an issue. But God is asking you to lay your issue aside and pray for others. And pray for others. Hallelujah. Your greatness, your fame, your promotion will come in a day that you overcome selfishness and bring yourself to pray for others. Hallelujah. I say, bring yourself to do what? To pray for others. It is time for you to focus on others. Time for you to pray for others. Lay your issues aside for a moment and try praying for others. Focus on others. Hallelujah. The reason why you are unable to pray for long is because you spend your time praying for yourself. You spend your time asking God about your issues. Amen. I said there is not a single person here that does not have an issue. Amen. Everyone has an issue. Everyone, including the children. They also have issues. Amen. Now, if you spend your time praying for others, or praying for yourself, rather, if you spend your time praying for yourself and your issues, you realize that you cannot pray for long. Your prayers will last only for a few minutes, and it's over. If your prayer is about your issues, think about it. You will not last long in prayers. Hallelujah. In a few minutes, you'll be done. Because you think about the most serious and pressing issues that are in your life right now. You think about them. Write them down. Just write them. Write your issues down. Write your issues. Things that you really want God to take care of. You begin to write them. I'm giving you time. At least I'm giving you an opportunity to take notes in church. For those of you who don't, you see, you don't know right now, as I'm asking you, it's very prophetic that you are writing your issues down. Write your issues down. Who does not have an issue? You don't have an issue, I'll give you one. If you don't have an issue, lift up your hand and I'll give you one right now. I'll give you one. If you don't have an issue. So think about the issues. Pressing issues. The issues that no man can solve for you. The issue that you need God's intervention for. Amen. How long will you spend in prayers asking God to do them for you? How long? How long would you last if you decide to pray about your issues? Write them down and start praying about them. How long do you think you'll last in prayers? But you, for instance, take the church list, for instance. Take your contact list. Take your basenta list. And begin to call each person's name. Mention each person's name and begin to pray for the person. You take a list of your contact, of all the church members, or of all the people in your contacts, and begin to pray for them. Call their names and pray for them. Whenever I take the church list and I'm praying, you can't get anywhere. You can't go far. Because you notice every single name you call has an issue. I tell you. And just praying about others can keep you in the presence of God for a long time. It will keep you in the presence of God for a long time. Praying for others. I tell you, when your prayer is about yourself, you will not last long in the presence of God. You are done. You are done. You pray about your baba, your haircut. You pray about your car. That you'll be able to pay your insurance. You pray about your rent. No ticket. You pray that as you are leaving your car, there will be no ticket. What else? Your children. How many do you have? How many children? Just say five. You call them five children. You are praying for them. What else? Your wife. How many wives do you have? One. You pray for your wife. What else? Pray for your husband. Pray for your beloved. That his mind continue to stay on. I mean, after you have prayed that your beloved's mind will continue to stay on, what else do you have to pray for him? That the wedding will come on. That the marriage will happen. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? That his mother will agree. His father will agree. They have agreed. What else? I said they have agreed. Are you listening to me? So you see, once you start praying about your life, you realize that you don't last long in the presence of God. You don't last long in the presence of God. But the Bible says, Job had a lot of issues. Look at Job's issues. Job had reason to pray for himself, to pray for his health. He was sick. Job was a very wealthy man. The Bible says that he was the richest man in the whole of the East. He lost all his businesses in one day. So if Job was to pray even for his business, Job could have fasted concerning his business. Job lost all his children. All his children. In one day. And so Job had reason to pray. Job was sick. He was afflicted. Wounds. He was sick. And he had reason to pray. He saw his friends going and coming. And his home situation. So Job had reason to pray for himself. Job had questions for God. He had reason to wait on God for answers to what he was going through. But the Bible says, the moment Job prayed for others, the moment Job prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job. He says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job how much? Twice as much as he had before. Beloved, you can pray for yourself and perhaps you get one. But pray for others and you get twice as much. Pray for others and you get twice as much. The Bible says when Job prayed for others, the moment, you see, when you see when, it means that it just follows. It will not have happened if he had not prayed for others. So when God sent the friends to go to Job for him to pray for them, he could have said, my issues are more than yours. Perhaps your issues are more than your friend. But God is saying, leave your issues and pray for your friend. Leave your issue and pray for your brother. Leave your issue and pray for your sister. Leave your issue and pray for someone that is next to you. Leave your issues and pray for your co-workers. They don't like you, but God wants you to pray for them. I say it's a supernatural thing. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to understand it. It does not make sense. It does not make sense that Job had all these issues and he has to let them go as if he was okay and now begin to pray for his friends. But the Bible says the moment Job did that, hallelujah. Some of you, when we are even having prayer meetings, we have an all night and you come and we introduce topic and we say, let's pray for our brothers who have not been with us, our brothers who are not here. Say, ah, we have come all night. We have come all night to spend all night praying. And the others, if they want to pray, why didn't they come? Seriously, how many of you have felt like that before? You have felt like that before. Ah, this cold, we have traveled, we have come to pray, and you see, and that is why we always have the issues. You see, when we are praying and now we are praying for ourselves, you see how you are energized. Cast out the demons that are attacking you, that are after you. The demon of poverty, the demon of sickness, sudden death. Cast them out. And then your energy comes. And then you are casting them out. Breaking demons, demonic pathways, breaking demonic agendas and plans and weapons. And then sometimes I see the people who are sleepy, they rise, they wake up. They wake up and they are on fire and praying. True or not true? But when you start praying for others, something supernatural starts happening in your life. When you start praying for others, something supernatural starts happening in your life. Hallelujah. Have you not realized when we are having flow and at the end, after we have cast out the demons and we think we are done. And then you say, let's pray for the nations. And then you say, oh, get your communion. But before we get our communion, let's begin to pray for the nations. Have you not realized that it's unending? It's going and it's going. And that can take another hour. When you begin to pray for others, you'll spend more time in the presence of God. You'll spend more time in the presence of God. Let me tell you, when you begin to pray for others, your time in the presence of God is increased. And that is when the change comes. That is when the transformation comes. When you are praying for others and you are in the presence of God, something supernatural happens to you. Leave your issues. Leave your issues. Don't be selfish. Leave your issues. The Bible calls this wisdom selfish. When you are praying concerning your issues, the Bible calls it selfish. It is time for you to rise up and pray for others. It is time for you to overcome the spirit of selfishness and self-centeredness and begin to pray for others. Don't be self-centered. That everything ought to be about you, but begin to pray for others. In James chapter 3 and verse 15, if you have the New Living Translation, James chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. I'm telling you, I say it does not make sense to you. What makes sense to you is selfishness. It does make sense. When you are praying for self, do you know selfishness means you are being selfish? You love yourself. You are selfish. Do you understand? Like you are boyish, you are girlish, you are selfish. You like yourself. You understand what I'm sharing with you? The Bible says that kind of thing is not God's kind of wisdom. When you love yourself, it's not God's wisdom. He says such things are earthly. They are unspiritual. I said praying for others is a spiritual, supernatural thing. It's not an earthly thing. But selfishness, self-centeredness, praying for yourself, the Bible says is earthly, is unspiritual, and is demonic. It's demonic. I said leave your issues and begin to pray for others. The next verse, he says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, selfish ambition, love self ambition. Your ambition is that you do well. Alone. The reason why many of you don't serve God, reason why many of you don't do anything for God is because of your selfish ambition. He says, wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition. I'm surprised that the Bible even compares jealousy and selfish together. But have you not realized that all selfish, ambitious people are also jealous? Hello? I'm preaching. It says, there, when you have these things, selfishness and jealousy, it says, there you will find disorder. And evil of every kind. Evil of every kind. This one has this car, so you have to have this car. This one has this house, so your house should be like this. This one has that, so you should have this. And then going on, he says, when there's these things going on, there's evil, every kind of evil is prevailing. Every possible evil. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all, pure. It is also peace-loving. Gentle at all times. I want you to notice that all of the things that we are naming, they are things that you do to others. It's never to you. You cannot be peace-loving to yourself. People will feel that you are peace-loving. It is also peace-loving. Gentle at all times. I mean, you can't be gentle to yourself. Is gentle to others. Brad, isn't that so? Yes. Gentle at all times and willing to yield to who? Yourself. Willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. These are all done to others. This is the wisdom of God, the wisdom that is from above. And that is the wisdom that you want to be after and that you want to go after. Young people, make your mind that you always look to help others. You want to help others. You want to pray for others. Make your mind every day after your quiet time, you call one of your friends' name and pray for the person. Pray for that person instead of praying for your exam. Pray for the exam of that person that God will help him to pass the test. Someone that you know is not doing well in your class, pray for that person and leave your issue alone. He says, it is full of mercy and good deeds, wisdom from above. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. It's always sincere. That is the wisdom that is from above. Leave your issues and focus on others and see the hand of God move in your life. Put your hands together for the Lord and let's rise to our feet and bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that you transform our minds and our hearts. turn our hearts to others. Turn our focus and our attention from our own issues onto others. Lord, it's supernatural. Give us that ability and the grace to focus and think of others. As Job prayed for others, Lord, you turn Job's captivity. Turn our hearts to others, that our captivities be turned around in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the new mind and the transformation. We thank you for the change of heart towards others in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from the wisdom that is earthly, that is unspiritual, that is sensual. Thank you now for the wisdom that is from on high, the wisdom from above. We give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone here an opportunity. You are not born again. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to give your life to Jesus. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Master. I want to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. If that is your word and that's your prayer, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Why don't you all join me and let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me with your blood. Wash me with your blood. I accept you as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my heart, of my mind, and of my soul. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.